ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Backlot. We are the Backlot Boys, and this is episode 7, and we're going to go on a stroll through the Disney hotels and talk about our memories as a childhood and maybe even a little bit of talk of the new hotel just starting in downtown Disney. So, Baguna, did you know about this? They've already closed the ESPN Zone, the Rainforest Cafe, Earl of Sandwich, and the AMC Theater, and many other little shops to get ready for this brand new hotel.
You know, I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know that it had happened already. And this is just fences are up, or are things being knocked down? Or are they just swapping contents inside? What are they doing with them?
From what I've seen, is they put little things in the windows to say they're closed so far. That's about it.
Half the battle is just letting the people know. So that's neat. No, I didn't know that so much action had already been taken. There were people, like I saw, noticed some comments on some boards here and there, some fan stuff out there that they were disappointed about ESPN Zone. All I could think of was, you were never there.
Yeah, I want to get into that more once we hit the main topic, but I also have to point out, guess what?
What's that?
We have 102 subscribers on YouTube.
Ooh,
now.
We peaked over 100. Now, I was wondering, I didn't know if we were over 100 yet.
We are, and it's amazing, and I'm loving it. That's really cool. Like this fun little podcast we do, it's growing, and people are enjoying it.
How many people want to listen to this is surprising. I almost want to double check those numbers, but that's very good. I'm flattered, to be honest.
Yeah, thank you guys for following along on our journey as we get better at this and involve it into more and exciting things in the future, which we have lots of plans together. Very excited about that. So thank you guys for that. As always, the support is much appreciated. And with that, let's jump into the Kingdom Cable.
Breaking news.
Oh, we had the best sound effects around here. So there are some bits of breaking news out there. The Fox merger that we talked about in a previous episode, you had all the facts and details, statistics, flowcharts, all that amazing stuff. It went through, and Disney now owns them. Well, they'll officially take ownership sometime next year.
That's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. There's a lot that they're going to be doing there. I believe you mentioned that a big part of this was because they wanted to build this big streaming arm, and it looks like they shouldn't have too much of a problem doing that. Now they can be competitive with Netflix and Amazon and I guess anybody else in that particular market not so much exists now, but I'm sure there'll be more to come.
So one thing that's really interesting that I found out recently, so the streaming service Disney's take on to Netflix, so they're trying to take on Netflix so that they are the creator and they are now the distributor to the end user of their product, which, I can kind of see why they want that. So one of the really strange things is they bought the Fox catalog, which contains a lot of R-rated movies, but the Disney streaming service will not have R-rated movies on it.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know, because that's one of the things that's nice about, I'm not saying what's nice about Netflix and Amazon is that there's our movies on there, but it's that there is a decent library and it has gone up and down. We've seen Netflix, sometimes there's just nothing on there and then all of a sudden it kind of picks back up, and Amazon was just really sludging around there for a little bit, but at least they have, they have a good diverse, kind of a diverse catalog. Disney, if they're holding out on some of the good stuff, what is Miss Doubtfire? That's like NC-17, but you saw him going to the bathroom and all that. But I didn't know that they were going to be censoring so many of their newly acquired properties here.
It is very interesting. I mean, they have, the alien, he's running around there like spitting and stuff. Like all that stuff wouldn't be on the platform. It's a little bit interesting because the Fox catalog has a lot of R-rated movies. And
can I ask you something kind of weird about that?
Yeah.
Sounds like you know a lot about this.
Probably
so
not.
By making this purchase, by Disney acquiring Fox, Iger's all stoked about it. And he rattles off in front of a large group of, in front of some shareholders that were getting pretty excited and pretty antsy, pretty nervous too. He talks to them and he says, hey, like we're going to be able to do all kinds of neat stuff with these franchises. We've already done it with a lot of Marvel stuff, but we're going to have, Fantastic Four and Deadpool, Planet of the Apes. What are people still liking that for? And Kingsman. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to mention two of those. Deadpool, Kingsman, both rated R. Both have some kind of gnarly stuff in there. I like both movies. Are good enough. But he's bringing that up, to those guys. But really, there's not the way you're describing it in terms of like us being able to watch those things. Yeah, maybe he might make like an attraction or something out of it. But why would he bring those up? Just because, do you think it's just because they made a bunch of money?
Maybe. I don't see what Disney could do with the two properties you mentioned within the parks at all. I mean, they're really not going to bring Deadpool into the parks. This is something that is, to me, from the very beginning, is a lot of that stuff is very universal. Like, Deadpool would have fit perfectly fine in a Universal park. It does not fit in a Disney park. Would be perfectly willing to see Deadpool in, like, a Universal park, but within, like, walking around, like, a Disney park, it just does not fit.
You think he'd just kind of strutting around, you know, he'd do a lot of leaning. He's always leaning on something, and he's tired. Leaning. A lot of leaning, you know, but no leaning at Disneyland, so I don't know.
Isn't that a rule with cast members? They can't lean?
There are some areas downtown, I mean, in a lot of different major cities, but specifically in Minneapolis, on the windows and somewhere on just like walls where it says no leaning. It's like there's a whole thing against leaning, you know, and there has to be something about cast members, you know, lounging or looking so casual about the park. So I would imagine, especially with like face characters or, you know, the furries or fuzzies or however they refer to that, that they can't just, you know, just kind of post up and they're up on flamingo style on one leg and just, you know, stretching. I don't think that that's permitted, at least not, certainly not on stage.
So I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what they do with some of those other properties and what they'll do with a lot of the old content. The streaming service itself is interesting. They are making a Star Wars TV show. It'll be one of the, if not the most expensive TV show ever created. I know Amazon is also making a show of similar cost with Lord of the Rings. I think that comes out next year also, or hopefully. I'm looking forward to it.
Did they say, is it $100 million for Star Wars? I think they said that the series would cost $100 million.
$100 million an episode.
Ooh, no. Okay. Oh, check please. Per episode?
Wait, was it per episode? I know it was. I know there was a lot of talk of $100 million, and I mean it couldn't be a per episode, because if they did 10 episodes, you know, we were up to $1 billion.
That simply can't be right. But $100 million for, I would assume that means, you know, season one. Let's just say it that. We'll call it maybe season one is. I know that Market Watch had written something about that. That's all I remember. Remember seeing $100 million. Really don't know too much about it, but I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So you could clearly see that they're trying to make a good push for this thing. I think there's going to be a live action, you know, similar to some of the other live action animated movies. So they take the animated movie, they make it into some kind of a live action thing. They're going to
give me an example. What are you talking about with that?
You know, I haven't seen any of these things, but Beauty and the Beast or Cinderella, okay. Jungle Book, all very, very popular.
All three of those were good. Great movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them. All very popular. They are going to do Lady and the Tramp, and they're going to make that into a movie, and it's going to be directly put onto the service, not sent out to theaters, none of that business, right onto their streaming service.
Okay.
So, that's their service. I mean, this Iger has said, and this is why I wanted to bring it up in the cable today, is he says this is Disney's number one priority is a streaming service. So the largest entertainment company in the world's biggest, you know, event within the company is creating this streaming service. That's where they see the most money, the most whatever they want within that. So I found that interesting. So, yeah, that is the Kingdom Cable. Do you have any other cables on your mind, or are we ready to move over to the main topic?
I think we're ready to move. I did look at some stuff in the news, but I mean, you kind of covered the big thing in my mind, and we just got done with two full episodes talking about changes at the parks, and so it really hasn't been anything overly hot in the news, so I say we make our move over outside of, you know, we were at the pier for a while, then we left California Adventure, then we're at, you know, all these parks overseas. You know, why don't you tell the folks where we're at today, because we are not in the park.
We're gonna go outside the berm and talk about the hotels. I think it'd be fun to start with the hotels that we visited as a child at Smallfellows, and then talk a little bit about the Disney hotels, and then eventually touch upon the brand new hotel that's being built at Disneyland, and there's a lot of cool stuff around that. So let's get started with that.
All right. So the year is 1970. Obviously, this is a dramatization. The year is 1970. I get Scar on the phone. And I say, listen, buddy, we're taking a trip down to Disneyland. The Disneyland Hotel is not necessarily in our Scar budget right now. So I'm thinking about some of these Good Neighbor properties. Now, you know, it's the 70s, and late 60s, early 70s. Anaheim is not at its best. There's been some issues, kind of overproduction, if you will. The city's kind of a mess. Anyway, I found a bunch of these hotels. Good Times with Scar. I'm going to go down a list. At the end of it, you'll tell me where you want to stay, okay?
All right. I'm going to be listening. I'm quite excited. Also, I'm looking at the Disneyland Hotel from the 70s. Wow. The style, quite a thing. Anyway,
swimsuits alone, the chest hair, it was just out, it went wild.
A lot of red carpet. All right. A lot of red carpet.
Right. So, hey, we're acting here. I was going to say daddy-o, but that's more like 50s. What did people call each other in the 70s? I'm feeling horrible about this right now because Starsky and Hutch, I'm sure they use all the language. I'll just say, hey, guy, we're getting ready to take this trip. What do you think? I got a couple of hotels and we'll go down the list. And if one stands out to you, you'll let me know, okay?
All right, I'm ready to go.
That was like a 1930s gangster, but yeah, obviously I'm not very good with the accent. Okay, so we got the Frontier Motel. And there's a covered wagon, I think. And on the covered wagon, it says last motel before Disneyland. The Sequoia Motel, kind of a national park motif. Holiday Inn of America, simply branded that way. There'll be another one. The Watergate Motel. Now, this had a White House vibe. Kind of neat. Kind of funny. A little tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, the Fantasy Motel. Now, I'm thinking maybe we don't stay there.
I'm going to pass.
We have the Magic Lamp. We've got the Peter Pan Motor Lodge. Maybe some copyright issues there. We have the Mecca Motel, one of the neatest posters I've seen, but controversial, but not so much then. You can kind of do stuff like this, and people didn't seem to get quite as offended. So we had the Mecca Motel. We've got the Jolly Roger. We know a little more about that.
We do.
We've got Holiday Out Motel. So you all have all these Holiday Inns. Somebody's doing a Holiday Out. Maybe that's something a little different. We've got Lady Latrice, and kind of looks like the redhead from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Interesting.
Could be fun. This is a Best Western property called Stovall's Space Age, and it's just a bunch of really weird moon men and stuff like this running around.
Okay.
We have the Anchor Motel. Pretty straightforward. There's a big anchor in front of it. We've got the Samoa Motel. Kind of American Samoa, just kind of a Pac Islander sort of vibe that you have over there. Some tiki stuff around here and there. You got the Alpine Motel. You think about skiing and kind of hard to imagine that in 113 degree temperatures.
So. Still there today, by the way.
You've got the Akua Motor Hotel, which is kind of a Polynesian, some tropical vibe, if you will. You've got the Sahara Motel, which curiously used the same font as the Sahara in the former Sahara in Vegas. You've got the Saga. Okay. Got the Saga over there, which is actually now the Grand Legacy with the park, but we don't know that because this is still the 70s. And lastly, the only other option that I'm feeling comfortable giving you at this point would be the Carousel.
The Carousel.
So you're hearing these names, you're thinking about the stuff, you're kind of picturing things in your head. You can imagine 70s, a lot of those kind of like muted earth tony colors, but then also some bright stuff and some bedazzled stuff, and some obviously there were some moon men involved.
And red carpet. What was the deal with red carpet?
It was just something they did. It's like, because you're always showing up. You had the big collars on and the wide leg, the flares of the pants. And I think, the red carpet, it was just like you're always stepping out onto the scene in the 70s for some reason. I don't know why, but it's just like a disco everywhere you went.
And the things on the side of your ears, the hair that grows down by the ears, whatever that is.
Sideburns.
Yeah, there you go. Very bushy. Big, red carpets. Yeah, very strange. Interesting 70s, style.
It's all about Bush, believe it or not. But so, except for one thing that was not, was what did you think about the Watergate Motel? Did you even know that existed? Did you know about that?
I did not know about that at all. Yeah. Very intriguing. Are the rooms, do they have like a secret tape recorder in it or anything?
I would hope so. I think that would be a nice addition, something fun for everybody. But, I didn't see a lot of interior shots. So it was difficult to find. Some of these places were flash in a pan. A lot of them, weren't really around a whole long time. Obviously, the Alpine is still there. Jolly Roger was there for ages. Some of these others, but Carousel. Some of these were just like fly-by-night kind of deal.
Also, if I were to stay at the Watergate Hotel, Maybe the employees have like a stage like break in. Maybe they put like a little bit of tape over the like the doorknob so it doesn't lock when the door closes, you know, just for fun and games. You never know. I'm thinking about two of them, right? I'm feeling a little alpine because, you know, we're in the desert. We're in California. You get a whole nother vibe there. You get the fake snow on the roof. Another one's the carousel. I do know this hotel because it just closed last year. It's a very nice hotel. It is also the closest to the gate of all of those hotels.
Carousel, really?
I'm wrong. No, scratch that. Back up. Actually, the new entrance.
The motel said it was the last motel before Disneyland.
Yo, because what I'm thinking is the only way into Disneyland back in those years would have been the original parking lot entrance, not the current entrance over at the transportation center. That's a little further up, right on the side of Tomorrowland that you go in today. Yeah. That wasn't it. You'd been farther down the road.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I almost made. Okay, so I'm going to say it's a toss up between Alpine and the Watergate.
Okay.
So I like the role play with the Watergate. I'm kind of
It seems like you have a lot of ideas. Obviously, you know more about Watergate than I do, and with the tape and all that fun stuff. So I think if we went back in time, if we traveled there right now, we're booking the Watergate.
We're going in Watergate
to start out with. Yeah. You know, maybe it's so awful, and they're recording everything. You know, every move we make. Then maybe we make a quick move over to the Mecca Motel or something like that instead, or Lady Latrice.
Yeah, well, you know, we could just one night, really. It'd be like going to the Star Wars hotel today. You know, it's not built now, but when it is, you know, you're going to get the role play. You're going to pretend you're Star Wars. You only go there one day because it's going to be like $1,000 a night. You just do one night in the Watergate, and then we move over to the Mecca or one of these other ones at a little lower cost, a little less role play.
Fair enough.
All right. I like that. That's cool to hear some of those names. Like, each one was very distinctive name. Like, think of today.
So themed.
Yeah, think of today. If you go down harbor right now, there's the Holiday Inn. There's the Hyatt House. There is the Residence Inn of Anaheim/Convention Center. The Marriott of Convention Center. And the Hilton of the Convention Center. So... there's not a lot of creativity there. These are like, they're really nice. I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with some of these rooms, especially at the Hyatt House and the Residence Inn. Those are really nice rooms, but there's no theme. There's no imagination in there. You don't get any role play at the Watergate or any Peter Pan action, nothing like that.
No, not at all. And I mean, you know, the Frontier Motel, like some of this stuff is just really wacky. It's had this... incredibly dangerous looking water slide that rocketed down out there in this pool area that barely even had a fence around it, you know, and it looked like people just off the street were getting in and going for a swim. It, of course, is just, you know, I'm just looking at photos and all this, but man, it was a boom town over there, these kind of hotels. And they seem really neat. And of course they don't meet the standards of modern hotels, but it was like, you know, you're on a vacation at Disneyland. These guys were like trying to up the ante, I feel like. You know, they were really trying to give you a continue on that vacation when you got back to the room. You know, they had the vibrating stuff in the rooms, and it was just a different time.
Very different time in terms of the hotels and stuff like that. And it was always a thing that Walt regretted, was not to buy up more land around Disneyland. And eventually, by not doing that, it evolved into the Florida property, which then turned into Disney World and stuff like that, where they could have more control over the experience, you know, how people get to the parks, the hotels, things like that. One thing I always find interesting about the Disneyland hotel of this time frame is that the Disneyland Hotel was not owned by Disneyland or Disney Company.
No, Big Rather. Big Rather was holding it down. The Motor Inn Company owned that thing, I think, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, Rather, like you said, Rather owned it. And that was a friend of Walt. And Walt, at the time, could not afford the Disneyland Hotel. And he came big. He came in there, swooped in there, built the Disneyland Hotel. It opened in October, whereas Disneyland opened in July. So, you know, it was a few months there of build-up.
Still within 1955, though, right?
Yeah, still within 1955. Yeah, some people say 1956, but it was 1995. Or 1995. I mean, 1955 for sure. And it was October 5th, to be precise. And
you know all the dates and everything. Jeez.
Yeah, so I just find that interesting that Disney didn't own it. They didn't own it till the 80s when Eisner came swooping in there and proclaimed that he saved the company.
I'll tell you what, you know, it's kind of funny, the whole thing about the Rathers, but, you know, Jack Rather, in some ways, I don't know much about him. I actually just started reading the book. But he was good friends with Walt, as you mentioned, you know, and you also said, you know, Walt regretted not buying up more land, but he couldn't. They were so strapped during that phase of the park build and all that kind of stuff that he didn't have the dough to do it. And so Rather comes in, he buys the place, he holds it down, he, you know, keeps it within the holdings of the Motor Inn company. And then it wasn't, you know, Walt did try to buy it back from him multiple times. Rather, you know, he wouldn't sell. And you got to imagine that if Walt were in Rather's shoes and this was a whole different situation, Walt wouldn't have sold either. You know, they would have maintained the professional friendship, but probably wouldn't have sold either. It wasn't, like you said, I mean, it wasn't until, so first Rather dies in, you know, I don't know, he dies sometime in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And then his widowed bride, then she dies too. And it was at that point that Eisner's like, forget about it, we're buying the whole company. And he just bought the Rather company altogether. And that's what ended up getting them the hotel. But funny thing about the hotel too, Disneyland Hotel, we don't have to get in a whole history thing or anything like that, but it was the first hotel to have a color television.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, first hotel to offer, one of the first hotels to offer televisions, period, in the room. First hotel to offer color televisions in the bedrooms.
Wow, that's interesting. I wonder if Walt had something to do with that. You know, filming all that in color anyway, you know? Just let these people see that. Get to see the movies in color.
That was like one of the big points of this book I was reading. Funny guy, author. But they just say that, and there's other things too, but they mentioned that a lot of things that came from Rather's Disneyland Hotel really created trends within the hotel industry as a whole. It's like, you know, he's got the color TVs. It's kind of like the thing with Borat and the iPods, you know. It's like he gets a color TV, he wants to see a color TV, you know, and like people start they start emulating that and you know, improving guest experiences all over the place. So that's kudos to him. I think Jack Rather and his wife were just recently noted as Disney legends a number of years ago. And there's one guy that's like kind of petitioning to get the two of them a window on Main Street. I don't know if I'd go that far. I'm going to, you know, I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
How about a window on the hotel? Let's give him a hotel window.
Give him a little window on the motel over there, the new one, or something like this, you know, but they don't need to be on Main Street. Because it wasn't park related, but they were big on the hotel side. They did some wonderful things. So sure, we'll give them some kind of representation out there. Keep them out of the park. Come on.
Yeah.
Show a little class.
One thing interesting to point out is the original tower that was built for the Disneyland Hotel is what today is the Adventureland Hotel. And
oh, the best one.
It's hard to explain, but the tower was about 3/4 the size it is today. Like, they added an extra chunk to it like a few years later, once, you know, people started really, you know, getting the rooms, getting in there, getting crazy. And so the Adventureland Tower is actually the original, whereas a lot of the business side of being in a hotel, you know, you check in, a lot of the restaurants, is actually in the Fantasy Tower. So you think of that as almost being the original, how it's positioned, the check and all that stuff. But no, that's actually I think that is the second tower to go up, and then the Frontierland Tower today, which we call it Frontier, which had other names before. There was like the Sierra and a few other names. I think the Frontierland Tower was called Sierra. Then that's the most recent tower to go up, and those rooms are a little bit bigger, if I'm not mistaken, also. But just keep in mind, the Adventure is the original.
Is it Frontier or Fantasy that will offer you the balcony? I know there's only one tower that gives balconies. Who's that? That's probably Fantasy, right? The big one?
No, I think it's Frontier, and it's only the side rooms. So it's like the side corners. All the other balconies have been taken out because of there was an incident in the past, and they just kind of want to be done with that and make it more energy efficient by not having, you know, the doors open and, you know, the air conditioning going.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. You know, they're doing some neat stuff over there. You know, we I didn't really mention it when you were talking about Kingdom Cable, but I know that isn't there an initiative, and I don't know if this includes the hotels, so that'd be a question for you, but at the parks, they're trying to eliminate straws by the end of the year or by next year.
Yeah, that is something.
Plastic straws. Maybe they'll have some of this biodegradable stuff or something like that.
Yeah, they're following the trend of Starbucks and stuff like that. I could see why they want to get rid of them. But they're seems like to me that there are so many worse things than just the, like, I think somebody just picked this out as like, that's what we're gonna go after, this. And it's
Yeah.
like there's so many worse things that I can name off that literally kill people, but you know, who cares about that? You know, when you get the
Yeah.
practice plastic straws to go after. But
Yeah, get rid of those. Well, remember they got rid of butter for a while, or they got put took the salt off the tables and did some really funny things there for a little bit.
yeah, it's the trends of the day that are these things really valuable or not, I guess, is for the future to decide. So that's a brief history of the Disneyland Hotel. I think it'd be fun to maybe go on a deep dive sometime on the Disneyland Hotel because there is crazy stuff. Like they used to have a lap pool and a mini golf course and tons of cool stuff in the past. But I'd like to move on to our personal experiences of the hotel. Are you interested in
Yeah,
that? Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
So I'm trying to think of my first time going to the Disneyland Hotel. Like, I have a vague memory of like a cradle, maybe like the walls were green, and we confirmed that with my mom. And yes, the walls were green. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Wasn't there one that we brought like our cat to, or was that not at the Disneyland Hotel?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, when our mom and dad were married, they
Yeah,
went
they
to the
brought the cat. We
Disneyland
weren't
Hotel.
there. We weren't around. They brought the cat.
Yes, they brought their cat, and I do believe that. Yeah, that's true. Another time that I believe we went to the Disneyland Hotel, I think I was a little bit older, and that's when
Sure.
they had the paddle boats out in the kind of central area of the hotel. So they had kind of a lake, if you
Yes.
will.
Yeah, they had that. I can't remember what they called it, but yeah, they had the water out there. They also had the little thing where you put a quarter in and you can drive around like like a Jungle Cruise boat, or maybe like a some kind of little sporty boat and stuff like that. You have like a steering wheel and stuff on this little console, and then you're driving them around through this little lagoon type deal. There's a nice clam chowder place that was nearby over there. They had the funny waterfalls. And wasn't there like an, I know that there was, so it's like kind of a rhetorical question, but do you recall that weird arcade that was like underground at the Disneyland Hotel?
No, I don't remember that. No,
I
not at
know,
all.
and you keep bringing this up. I know that our mom remembers this. It was an arcade, and it had a funny entrance. I don't even remember exactly how you got in there, but you went down there, and it was really dark, darkest arcade I've ever been. And some things in there weren't even games. Like I remember this one thing, and it was like a pedestal, right? And it's about maybe like shoulder high, and it has like a little glass globe with a small like hologram type thing in the middle. That's it. You just walk around, kind of look at it and touch it. There's fingerprints are all over it, you
Ah,
know.
jeez.
And there's that, and there were a couple of games, a lot of like kind of like the racing simulator console type games, but not really loud and obnoxious ones. Kind of like this was like the low key arcade, but there wasn't a lot of noise. There weren't little sirens going off and strobe lights and all this kind of thing. Curiously, it's also the arcade that had this like a climbing mechanism where it was a flat wall and it had little pegs, like if you were on like a rock wall. And you know you did the rock wall when you were swimming at Mount Hood. And so you know about this. And it had all the little the grips and everything for your hands and your feet. And so what you do is you put a buck in there, 75 cents, whatever it was, and you would get on the wall and it would have a little counter up at the top and like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then it would slowly start going. Now you could speed this up. You could choose the level of intensity. It always seemed like a safety hazard. Even when I remember seeing this as, what are we, 12, 13, maybe younger than that, I don't remember. But it was that was weird. Not just
Yeah.
that game specifically, but the arcade itself was very, very odd.
Wow, that I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was in the middle of that water. It was underwater or something. That's why it was so dark. I don't know what the deal was. Honestly, I'll look into that more, and because I do want to do an episode on Disneyland arcades. And that might be more of like a YouTube only kind of a video, because I want to show some footy and stuff like that. But yeah, maybe I'll reserve it for that, and I'll spend some time doing some more research, because I have read things online where others have remembered it as well. So it's at first I thought I dreamed it, because you have all these weird Disneyland dreams. But no, sure enough, though, I do think it was a real thing. I believe it was real.
Oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, there was the hotel was vastly different up into the kind of like 2000s, if I'm not mistaken, because like I mentioned before, there was the little paddle boats in the center of the lake. So if you think of this, if you've never been there or seen it at the time, there are three towers. And then in between those towers, there was like a lake and some restaurants, a little bit of a boardwalk thing. So yeah, it must have been kind of tucked in right in the center there where all those little boardwalks and shops were. There's like a little part that went down underground.
Very yeah, interesting. It was like there. I think there were like some steps that went down there. Man, I wish I could like better explain how this thing worked. And I don't know exactly what the vintage of it was. You know, I don't know when this thing existed. I don't know like what its time frame was. All I know is it was in that area that had that little overhang, you know? So yeah, there was water. There was like a plank that you kind of walked out onto. So it wasn't in that building with the red top or anything, because it was specifically kind of in that little island. And I think it was just straight up called the Disneyland Hotel Arcade. Mm. And it had shops. There's like, yeah, the waterfall path to walk along, you know, lights up the water and all that kind of stuff. It didn't specifically cost to go in there. There weren't a lot of tourists in there either. I remember when we went in, and it, maybe I only went in by myself. I don't know. For some reason, I thought you were in there. But there was nobody in there. There's like one or two stragglers, you know, like that. I don't even know what they were doing in there. Kind of some oddballs or something, but it was very, only because I cannot get all the right information. It was awesome and so strange. And just one of those things that like, basically in my opinion, could not exist, you know, nowadays. You just couldn't even have that because,
yeah,
I don't know. Huh. People would be fooling around in there, but
yeah, that's interesting. It's funny. Like, yeah, we'll have to look into that for sure. I was looking at a picture now of the lake and how it looked in the past and stuff. It's vastly different from what it looks like today. Another memory I have, if we fast forward into 2000, I'm going to say 2000 actually was the year that we went to the Disneyland Hotel. Our parents surprised us. This was the first time, and like the other times I was like maybe like 3-4 maybe at best. So this was many years later, and they surprised us. We went in there, they had changed the hotel completely, they got rid of the lake in the center, they turned that into the Neverland Pool, they built like Captain Hook's, which was kind of a fancier restaurant off to the side a little bit, had like Hook's Cellar below it. Behind that they had, you know, some more little shops, and that's where the arcade that I remember was. It was on kind of like stilts, kind of next to where they built the Neverland Pool, which I believe was designed by Tony of the Baxter.
Tony Baxter, like the new Never, or the not new, but like the Neverland Pool that they kind of redid in the late 90s, or?
Yeah, well, yeah, they made the pool in like 1999, 2000. That's when they got rid of like the lake in the center and turned it into a big pool with like a water slide and stuff like that. Had the pirate ship, and Croc was there. You could get your photo next to it. There was also like a shop. This is one of my favorite things from this trip. So this trip was in 2000. There was a walk-up place you could just walk up to, and you could get nachos and hamburgers, french fries. It was called Croc's Bits and Bites. And
oh, I do kind of remember that place. Yeah, decent nacho cheese. Kind of, I wouldn't say run of the mill, but you know, it was a step above.
I remember the chips being a little bit harder and a little bit crunchier than normal. And they had this restaurant, you know, this walk-up restaurant. They had it up into the current renovation, what the park is today, or the hotel. Okay. But it was kind of sad to lose that, because I remember when we went to Disneyland, it was either like, must have been 2008, I believe. And they were doing color tests on the Adventureland Tower. And there was some like color designs up there. There was one window changed out to the dark blue color that it is today. And we were eating nachos. We were looking at that like, you know, they're going to start doing the renovations. And then come 2012, the entire thing had been renovated by them. And this was, you know, 2010, 2000, you know, somewhere around then. Yeah. I think it was around 2010-ish. And
just gone.
So yeah, Croc's Bits and Bites all went away, and then it was replaced then by the monorail pool, because they took the Disneyland Hotel away from kind of the fantasy feel that it had to more of a retro feel. So then the towers were renamed, the pool was turned into a homage of the old Disneyland sign, the old monorails and stuff like that. So it's funny that there's so many changes have happened in that little courtyard in between all those towers.
Yeah, and it's like you can almost sometimes you can still see little bits and pieces of the old stuff. What was that light show? Didn't they have like some kind of water light up show that they used to do back there? It's
And
like Fantasy Waters or something like that.
yes, I believe it was Fantasy Waters, and it was our dad's favorite thing
Oh,
ever.
hey.
And he loved it. You know, he went down there
Oh, man,
in that
classic.
trip in 2000. I think we were
Yeah,
staying in what
yeah.
is now, like I said, the Frontier Tower. And
Sure.
we could kind of see it from the balcony because they still had balconies then. And
Yeah.
our dad's down there. He bought popcorn. He's just watching those fountains. These are some rudimentary fountains. You know,
Oh, yeah.
we're not talking like the greatest thing in the world, but he loved it. He was like a kid down there, just
I
that
liked
popcorn.
those too because you kind of felt like you were exploring, you know, like you were kind of going back in these little tunnels. And I think part of it too is, I mean, you spend all day, you're at the park and it's crowded and you're bumping into all these characters and stuff, but then you go down there and it's kind of like your own little adventure park. And no, fair enough. Like that was cool. I liked it down there too.
Yeah,
And
it
you know, I had
was.
that chlorine smell, but it was nice.
Yeah, I did have a chlorine spell. And back then, before the current renovation, there was something called like the sand pools. There was like two or three pools, very quiet, away from the chaos of the Neverland pool, which was nice over in that back corner. And
Yeah.
so there was also in that area was these massive waterfalls that had been there from the early days of the hotel. You could kind of, meander around through these like huge waterfalls, and at night they lit them from behind.
Oh, I thought that's what you were just talking about right now. Of course, those things were
No.
great. Yeah, you'd go, but you could go behind them and the wall's coming down, the water's coming down, and people are getting engaged down there and everything. And those were cool. That's what I thought. Okay, excuse me.
Oh
That's what I thought you were
no.
talking about before. I was
I'm
like,
talking
why is
about
Gar downplaying these beautiful waterfalls?
Fantasy Waters. This was a little tiny show. They played music and the fountains
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
played to the music. They had a
It
little bit
looked
of
like a
tiny.
tiny amphitheater. You're
Yes,
talking about that?
tiny.
It's got
Yes.
a little. Oh, okay. There we go. Okay.
And
There
that's
we
what our
go.
dad loved watching, and ate popcorn. They sold popcorn in front of it. So here's
Classic.
just a side note is when I think of like today, like just the
Sure.
renovation they did of it is beautiful. The pools are nice, the walkways are really cool. There's some elevated ones, lots of lush plants. The new restaurant that replaced Crocs and Bits and Bites is really good. It's a Tengro Terrace, I believe, and it's really good. But when you think of those old things, there was a lot more like, I don't know. It was almost like it was just like some guy's idea. Like, hey, I'm gonna put over the Fantasy Waters, and we'll hook up the hose and get some music.
Yeah.
And so nowadays everything is so like rigid, and like you could tell it took like thousands of people and meetings
A
to
lot of
make all this stuff.
meetings on stacks on stacks of meetings, you know?
Yeah, and maybe that stuff isn't on par with what's built today, but there was almost
Well,
this
yeah.
like I don't know, real like human element. Like you could see that this was like actually like one person's like idea, where 20 people probably decided the paint color for like one facade of the of
Yeah.
Tango Road, whatever. But I don't know, there's
It
just kind of a fun element.
kind of like a friend, like, yeah, pop on by, you got some popcorn, kind of like how they do when you're getting, new tires at Le Schwab or something. And it definitely had like a, I don't know, I felt, it seemed kind of inviting. And you're a part of it, and you can kind of come and go as you please. You can check it out. You can walk over here. You can walk away from it. Whereas now it's like, come at this particular time and stand in this one little zone. And if you're going to be over there, you got to wear a poncho and, all this other funny stuff. But
Do you have
yeah,
the
there was
wristband?
definitely an,
Gotta have the
yeah, do you have
wristband.
the wristband?
Is
Is
it the
it,
red one? Because if
check
it's not
in?
the
Is it,
red one, you can't be
no,
here.
I've got a blue one. I can't got to go. I've got a blue one. So it just, yeah, it was definitely, and you could feed the koi fish and I almost fell. I felt like I was going to fall in there and, just kind of funny stuff, and that, that even the rooms were kind of like that in some ways. But yeah, definitely that now that I think about it, that cement little amphitheater over there, holy moly. If you had the right water pressure, you could do put that whole thing on in your own backyard, folks.
And people have. There used to be a person on a message board back in the day who tried to recreate it in his backyard. And he had even eventually worked up to having like a show control system. He could kind of get it going. He had the music and everything.
Really?
Yeah, this
Okay.
was like way back in like 2004 or whatever. I remember seeing
Can you
this
give a
guy.
shout out for him? Do you remember who he is or channels
No,
maybe? Or
I don't. But I always think of Fantasy Waters as the predecessor to World of Color that eventually
Yes,
opened.
poor man's World of Color, as they've called
Yeah.
it.
So it's fun to think about how many times that Disneyland Hotel has evolved over the years, and our like experiences, like staying there. I mean, more recently in time, We've stayed in the Adventureland Hotel, which is one of my favorite ones, because if you're on the lower floors, which are cheaper than, of course, being on the higher floors where they charge more for a view, but on the lower floors, when you look out your window, they planted just like thousands of palm trees and I can't think of the right name, maybe banana tree. I don't know, some kind of palmish tree with big leaves. And it's like you open the window, it's like you're in a jungle. It's like really, really cool.
I think it's called like a banana leaf tree or something.
Ah, there you go.
That you're thinking of something like that. But yeah, it's the type of leaves where like you could detach it and, you know, Scar would be sitting in his throne and I would be over there waving it like this, you know, and it's cooling him off and he's eating grapes or something. Like you imagine that you've seen the footage of that in a cartoon or something. These are massive leaves like that. And the greenery, they have those blue windows. And so, which helps kind of like, you know, block out some UV rays, mm-hmm. but it just, there's so much plant life out there. You're right. It was just, it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And nowadays when you're in the hotel or in the room, they have like a really cool headboard back there. They hit a little switch and it plays like a little music block sound. And then there's a motif of a castle kind of carved in.
Wait a second. Busted.
Yeah.
I think what you meant to say was like a music box.
Uh-huh.
But obviously this guy plays a lot of Minecraft because he said music block. Note blocks. He's thinking note blocks. Normally I wouldn't have caught that, but I've been playing a little bit here and there, just breaking down some wood and some dirt. So.
You bust him. You put me on the news.
Lingo in there. Put him on the news just about that. How do you like that?
Yeah. So that's pretty good. So yeah, like I said, the music box plays and the little optical, like fiber optic lights go above the castle, those little sparkles. Super, super cool. They did a great job on the rooms for the hotels in this renovation. It's sad that, you know, maybe we lost the waterfalls and it just got turned into a lawn for like special events, but the rooms came out fantastic. And the restaurant is really good down in the corner. And there's also for people who enjoy it, there's the bar that's Trader Sam's. Very crowded, but lots of fun things inside. If you buy certain drinks, you know, certain things happen in the environment. It's all tied in.
I've been there twice, and both times I thought it was great. But neither time it was crowded. And
really?
I guess, yeah. And one of the times was in the actually, this is crazy. One of the times was like, it was like in the summer, so it should have been packed, and it wasn't. And then the other time was when I was with you guys. When did we go? Well, it was not the last time. Maybe. I can't remember. You know, it was like in the 2012 or 13 or 11 or 10 or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But both times it wasn't there. And I remember sitting next to a friend and like, we're sitting there. And it might actually, I think this was occurring to me. This was happening to me. The bartender, barkeep back here, has all these controls over things that he can do within this place, he or she can do. And one of the things was it lowered my stool. Like I'm sitting on a stool, the other person, friend is sitting over here. And I realize I'm just talking a lot per usual. I realize like halfway into the conversation that I'm like a foot shorter than that person. Now I'm looking up there, but he did it so slow that I honestly didn't even realize. And I was only having one drink. So it's not like I was, you know, I was going that way. It was more like, you know, the atmosphere and stuff like that. You just don't really notice. And it was the increments that it was lowering were so small. And the environment is so immersive and kind of funny that, yeah, it just caught me by surprise, you know?
That's interesting. I think there's this one drink, I guess you can get too, that has like a ship in a bottle and the bottle starts moving around. There's like lightning behind it and stuff.
Yeah, it's like the storm, something storm, I think, or yeah, shipping about something, some kind of storm. Yeah, the windows will flash. It's kind of like the tiki room in there, you know, when the gods have been angered, you know, and like,
yeah,
it has an effect very similar to that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've never been in there, but yeah, it definitely sounds cool.
We'll get there next time. It's cool. It's a neat scene.
Yeah, so the Disneyland Hotel, it's an interesting place. It has so much history that we could get into. These are just some of our memories that when we went there. And I think one of the absolute best ones ever was when our parents surprised us that we were going to stay at the Disneyland Hotel and not the Jolly Roger as a special treat vacation. Yeah. And yeah, that was really cool because it was just, I barely remember staying at there when I was very young and just kind of remember seeing the paddle boats and the crib or whatever. So it was fun to kind of explore there. And that's right when Downtown Disney opened. California Adventure was actually not open at the time. And surprisingly, there was actually a tram that you got into behind what is today the Frontierland Tower. And that would take you right to Disneyland and you didn't have to walk into Downtown Disney or anything like that.
Yeah,
that was convenient as all could be. That was pretty amazing.
You just rock it right in there. And it was that was actually really cool. And you know, I remember some of those, I remember those trips as well. And it was funny, cause like our parents would do this thing like, you know, we're staying, they wouldn't really say specifically what the actual place, you know, where we were going to be staying, but it was obviously not disclosed to us ahead of time that we were staying at the Disneyland Hotel, which is, you know, quite a feature. And they're just like a lot of beating around the bush. And then all of a sudden we're like pulling into the hotel. And then I remember Dad saying something like, just pulling in here. Is there a place to turn around, or, you know, just trying to keep the act going?
And he did. He said we're going to turn around.
Yeah. It was something about turning around and then it was almost like, well, we're already here. I think Mom said, we're already here. I was like, it was at that point that, the joke had landed, but man, that was pretty exciting. That was pretty fun. And yeah, what great amenities, you know, the pools, they talk about it like, you know, of course the hotel is a lot more expensive than your other options nearby, but Disney provides enough amenities at some of these hotels. And maybe, you know, some could argue that it's still not worth it, but they provide enough amenities to where if you utilize those, if you go to the pool, if you do like the movie night, if you go to the little reception hour, if you take advantage of some of this stuff, it is worth it. You know, not every time. And as long as you're, you know, you have, again, if you have, it's in your budget, but man, there's some cool stuff and some big perks about staying on the property for sure.
Yeah. And I think it's fun too, is like, you can't, I don't know, that we couldn't always afford to stay there. So it was like a treat, like, you know, this one, two times that we got to stay there when we were kids, but, was super cool. Now there's another hotel just down the way from the Disneyland Hotel, and this has changed hands many times, but is now a Disney hotel, and it's called Paradise Pier Hotel. And this was built back in the time when LA hosted the Olympics, and it was
early 80s. It was what was that, 1980? Was it 80 Olympics? Was it,
I 90? Think so. It's something 82? Like that.
83, 84, 84 Olympics. Can't remember.
Maybe yeah, and it changed many, many different names. So I believe the original name was called the Emerald, and
it was, you're right. Yes, in 1984 was when the games were there, and wasn't it a Tokyo company or something that put that together?
Yes, it was. And the rooms are actually very large. They were like the almost like the biggest standard rooms in Los Angeles. They're very large, and we stayed there. It was just our mom. And she brought all three of us, so three brothers.
Oh, wait a minute. Was that the escape artist trip?
So here's a little bit of background on Boy Guna. No. Mm-hmm. He's a fiercely independent fella. Yeah. And as a young kid, there often happened in our trips to Disneyland was he just decided in mid-walk to an attraction that he was done with us and he'd like to go do his own thing. Not like letting us know or anything along those lines. It was just be 1 minute, he's just gone. And it wasn't just like he got lost or anything. No, he was having a grand time. He was riding rides. He's probably buying snacks, meeting new people. Well, we're all there like looking around, like looking with our magnifying glass, like trying to find this guy. This could be a story for a future podcast, but this happened during this trip, by the way, that we were walking by the Matterhorn and we were all on one side of the queue and you got on the inside of that queue. And I remember seeing you inside and then you were just gone.
You know, so I guess you got to put something in here. This is one perspective. This is one side of the fence. And maybe there should be an episode about this kind of thing. That is what happened. That is how it started. And I looked and you guys were gone. And I'm calling out and I'm on my tiptoes and I'm climbing. I'm trying to find a banister or a railing for me to stand on and get a bird's eye. And I'm looking around all over the place. It doesn't seem that anybody's really looking for me and I can't find you guys. So in my young mind, the idea is, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on some rides. I'm sure I'll find them. I'm sure I'll see them when I'm on the rides. I'll be in the line or I'll see them from the air. That will be the best way for me to locate these guys. What is the other option? I'm going to, you know, but nowadays with the cell phones and things like, hey, you don't really have this problem. Remember when everybody was using walkie talkies for a while?
Yeah.
Remember
this is pre walkie talkies. Yeah.
So it's pre walkie talkie. And that's one person's perspective. I think what was really outrageous, and obviously like I wish I hadn't gotten lost and put all that stress on Mom, but the thing is, I did enjoy my time alone. I can go on whatever I wanted. I could run in between rides. I didn't have to worry about. See, I'm a guy. I don't get tired very easily. I mean, eventually I do. And when I do get tired, I'm out. you know, but I usually run myself down to the end. And, you know, so I'm going on all these rides. So I think mom brought you and Jeremy back to the hotel.
She did.
And then she came back to the park and found me. So yeah. I can't even imagine if she would have been wearing like a Fitbit or something back then, like just the amount of, you know, on foot. So anyway, so she brings you guys back. She comes back to the park. She finds me. I'm busted. Go back to the hotel. And, you know, I'm either sulking or maybe I'm still having a good time. I don't know. I didn't, you know, probably not usually a bad attitude. And so then we go back to the park. We go back there in the afternoon. I'm sticking close, staying tight. You know, we go on all the rides. What happens? We're going down Main Street, trying to get out of the park for the night. And somehow I lose track of you guys. And it's like, what is it? Like 2 a.m. or like 2:15 or something by the time, mm-hmm. by the 2:30, by the time like mom, like I eventually was at like City Hall or like this is not, I'm not talking about Anaheim City Hall, City Hall at Disneyland, you know, where you kind of go to regroup with your group. I think it was at that point when I saw her, and I just remember mom's face, and I was just like, ooh, busted.
Ah, busted. Yeah. That one side note.
Two big times. Just screeching off.
One thing to keep in mind is the parks did actually stay open way later than they do today. I mean, even in the 80s and 70s, sometimes they would just be like, hey, we extended the hours. Nowadays, they have to get the flow chart and the, you know, like predictions and
forecasts and
algorithms.
Know
people love that word.
Stay that late, and they don't really know what algorithm means. So let's just say equations. And so it's just like, yeah, you're right. All this paperwork, all these SQL charts and access grams and everybody just trying to figure, you know, like, but back then it was like, hey, you know, weather's all right. It doesn't look like it's going to rain. You know, nobody's riding or anything like that. Everybody seems to be getting along. Let's stay open a few more hours. You know, it's like some of these decisions were certainly made, you know, not years in advance.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so back on the Emerald, I don't remember much about the hotel. It had an elevator that went on the outside. It was this glass elevator. Yeah. And then
it was a neat hotel. Tokyu was like the Japanese company that owned them. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It kind of came about that way. And then I think it came into I'm still confused. After it was the Emerald though, didn't it turn into something else? It was like the Pan Pacific Hotel. That was like in the early 90s. I feel like.
When Disney bought it, I think they kept that name or something those lines. Or did they change it?
It went from Emerald to Pan Pacific. Disney was close. Just Disney Pacific Hotel is what they overlaid it with.
Okay.
And it was, do you remember the logo? It was like a palm tree, mm-hmm. and then where there would be two coconuts, those were the ears, the Mickey ears, and then there was kind of just a half circle for the head. It was tasteful. It was actually kind of a neat. I wish I had like a polo shirt with that logo on. I think that would be really neat.
Oh yeah, that does sound nice. And then they changed it to...
How sarcastic, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, how sarcastic was Scar's answer right there? Oh, yeah, that does sound nice. And then he just quickly changes the subject.
It sounded nice. It sounded good.
I mean, it's just the way segued.
Ah, busted. It sounds nice. I like it. Good. Yeah. Maybe get that on eBay. But like I said, they did change it to Paradise Pier mm-hmm. when California Adventure was open. I believe I've only stayed there one other time, and I was able to get a killer deal with an annual passport back when they gave out some pretty nice deals back in like 2000, anywhere from like 2008 to like 2011. Some really mm-hmm. sweet deals. I think it was $119 to stay there. And if you know today's prices.
I paid almost that exact same rate in I think like 2000. I want to say 2011 or 2000. I think it was 2012. I paid $117.
Yeah, it.
Can you believe that?
It was crazy, and it was fun. I believe when we stayed there, it was the first time we stayed at a Disney Hotel in a very long time. So it was fun. We had a room that overlooked the California Adventure just a little bit. You couldn't see too much because we were pretty low. It was wheelchair accessible, very wheelchair accessible. So if you have a wheelchair, it was very very convenient. And the rooms were nice and spacious. The beds were nice. The people there were good.
Did you come up on any of the room service? Did you get that burger with a big old pineapple on it?
No, not a room service guy. No.
Okay. All right. What's that all about? I mean, you know, I know your diet restrictions and stuff are a little different now, but you know, have you never never really been a room service guy.
Well, there was this one time when you and I went to Disneyland, and you brought, like, you got a whole spread, and you offered me
fry.
Well,
I had a couple of bucks from a graduation cash, and I think I feel like you had a couple bites of the burger, but
you gave me one waffle
about
fry.
That at this point, it would be
one waffle fry. So, so that hotel is pretty cool, but let's go to the big daddy, the big one, the super hotel, the Grand California. Okay. Opened in 2001 along with California Adventure. First, no, not the first, because that would have been Disneyland Paris. The second hotel ever to be built, like, kind of within an existing park with its own, like, private entrance into California Adventure. Nowadays, people can kind of go into it after a certain time. So after 11 o'clock, standard admission tickets can go through the gate. But earlier in the day, it's, you know, hotel only. Some of the views are, like, directly into the park. Those are kind of their premium views. It's a Craftsman style, my personal favorite, like, architectural mm-hmm. style, kind of themed after a National Park Lodge, maybe the Ahwahnee or the one in Yellowstone. I always forget what it's called. And it's such a beautiful hotel. When you go through the lobby, that's like 4 stories tall or 5 or more, maybe, and you look up there and these beams and the fireplaces, and it's just an absolute beautiful hotel.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty neat. I think, what would you say the best part about that hotel is? The lobby, I guess?
Yes, it would be the lobby. The rooms are nice. They're mm-hmm. nice, but they're not, like, giant. They're actually a little bit smaller than, say, any, like, Paradise and Disneyland hotels. But it's the whole fact that you're, like, within walking quick walking distance of the park. Like, within minutes, you're in the park. And the lobby is spectacular. We've stayed there one time, or myself, and you've stayed there once yourself. And I would always recommend, if you can, to get a room that overlooks the hearth, is what they call it, like the lobby area. And mm-hmm. because when you open your door, like, you look out directly down onto this just massive, beautiful lobby. And it's just, like, quite an experience. Like, it's a lot of, like, it's real private, you know, because there's nothing in, like, across from you or anything.
And so, wait a minute. Crazy. So you would choose that room over, what isn't there another one that overlooks, like, the pool?
Yeah, I would choose that over the pool.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I would
maybe
choose
less
that.
Screaming, you know, less, like, high-pitched noises and stuff coming in at the later hours or the early hours or the nap time hours.
Yeah. And also a benefit of this hotel is they still have that kind of, like, snack place that the Disneyland Hotel used to have, which Crocs Bits and Bites. It's Whitewater Snacks, and they sell nachos. So you're set there.
If anybody, you know, having anything to do with the hotels is listening, Scar has brought up Crocs Bits and Bites like 17 times. I actually tallied it up over here, officially 17 times. And you may want to think about bringing that back. It sounds like the guy really liked it. I can't imagine he's the only one.
It was good, because it was good food, but it was, like, quick. You could just jump in there and get out of there.
Well,
you know,
bits and bites. You know, bits and bites. You know, you can't imagine you're going to be sitting down to a whole meal of food if the name of the restaurant is Bits and Bites.
No, you just got to get right in there and get out. Now, the time we actually stayed there, unfortunately, it was closed for renovation. They were just getting those fancy Coke machines that people love, you know, mixing things. And
those are fun.
Yeah. So that hotel has so many things to discover. Like, there's, like, a bar area that's really nice. There's a tour that you could go on, and they talk about the history of the Craftsman style. Some of the neat things that were made specifically for the hotel by, like, Craftsman, you know, very specific things.
Wonderful spread, Storyteller Cafe.
You know, it has its stories definitely to be told.
It's more like some people have odd stomachs. You know, it's I wouldn't put all the pressure on the chef, the food preparation.
Okay, so when Boyguna and I went to Disneyland together for his graduation from the high school, we both went together, and it was kind of a last minute thing. Like, you were just going to go with your alone, but then somehow I just ended up going, and it was fun.
We were at the AAA vacation planner office, and we're going through something, and I think, I can't remember exactly, all I remember saying is to the guy, I was like, hey, can I pay for this in cash? And he goes, cash is king. And I was like, oh, okay, who's this guy? But then he said, I can't remember, he said something, and he was talking about the rate, and I think he, like, either motioned to you, because it was mom, dad, you, and you were there, and he, like, motioned, like, is this guy coming, or these are, you know, is anybody else? No, it's just gonna be me, you know. And I think that was peculiar, but hey, you know, he didn't know, he doesn't get it. And
he's an independent guy.
Something I can't, yeah, pandemic. Jeez Louise. There's more to that, actually. Yeah, my shrink said something about that too. But anyway, so he was talking to us about it, and then all of a sudden it dawned on us that, you know, all we would really have to do is get you a flight, get you the airplane ticket. And when it all came together, it was hardly very much more money to add both your airline ticket and your park ticket. And we already had the hotel room.
Yeah. So, and you got a bonus for the extra ticket or something like that.
Yeah, something like this. And so it actually ended up working out really wonderful. It was quite a seamless process. And that whole summer, I just remember looking at the AAA vacation planner book specifically for Disneyland and just so amped. And there were so many circles and crosses through and underlines and stuff under all the hotels. Like that decision-making process was quite a, that was awesome. That was so much fun. But anyway, carry on with your story.
The ticket, it came with a free buffet, if you will. And we chose the Grand Californian because we'd never seen the hotel before. We wanted to just go into the hotel and see it instead of like another buffet place that may have been a Disneyland hotel or Paradise Pier. We go in there, this waiter comes up and she's like, "What can I get you guys? You know, you can go up to the buffet, I can bring out stuff." And you're just like, "Can we get some pancakes?" And she brings out some pancakes and she's like, "Can I get you some orange juice?" And we're like, "Sure." And you know, we eat the pancakes, we eat the orange juice, we go into the buffet, we get some stuff. There was yellow watermelon. I don't know why it was yellow. Maybe that's why things happen in the future of this story. We get that, we come back, we get the bacon. Then she's like, "Can I get you guys some chocolate milk?" And we're like, "Sure, we'll get the chocolate milk." And
we did that. We got the double treatment because we got everything that was out there for the big spread, and then on top of that, we got all the little, like, she was like, they were making stuff in the kitchen, and then we had access to all the others. It was like, it was the ultimate spread.
And I had some stomach issues after that, if you will, and it was.
That's a polite, that's a ginger way of describing it. But
you weren't very ginger about it. You know, I was like, well, I had some stomach distress.
You got a clown, you know, a clown on your brothers and stuff. And looking back, obviously, I was probably, I think I just, you know how sometimes like something happens, you make some jokes about it, and it's all well and good. And like, but sometimes there's a person or, you know, it's one of those things, so you can't help yourself and you just keep going. And eventually this guy, man, he started boiling. There used to be a show on MTV, I don't know if it's still around, it's called Boiling Points, and they would just drive somebody up the wall, and like there was like a little counter on the side of the screen, you know, like how long, and then they would obviously, there was a boiling point for everybody. This was Scar's boiling point, and he was getting pretty frustrated. I do regret that. I do kind of wish I hadn't been such a goon, but delicious food. We had a wonderful trip. I don't know where we got going on that, but it is a good buffet. Something happened, you know, obviously it was the yellow watermelon, or it could have been the 17 glasses of chocolate milk that we each consumed.
And orange juice on top of that.
Oh, and the OJ. Think about the acid. The acids alone, you know, in the juice.
In the milk. In the chocolate milk.
Oh, and the everything was going on, and it was just so delicious. Yeah. Anyway, so that's one of the you know, the Storyteller Cafe is great. Obviously, they have a big Disney store in there, too. But then you also have World of Disney just right out the way in the downtown Disney area. It's got its own park entrance over there. What else? You know, one thing that I did notice about it that was kind of surprising, because at first I thought, hey, the gym here is awful. It's so small, super tiny. One of the smallest gyms in a hotel I've ever seen, especially a hotel, you know, that with a star or diamond rating that they have. I don't know why it's so small either, because I get that the Disneyland Hotel is more likely to host conferences than the Grand Californian, but they both still host conferences. You're hosting a conference, you got to have a gym for people, because they got to get out, get the gunk out of their legs, get on the bikes and treadmills and all this stuff, you know, do some calisthenics. And that gym is just it's rough. It's sad. Yeah, but that's not what it's about. You know, the parks, it's not about that. But that was just something I thought I would notice, or I thought I would mention. But I the only personal thing I feel like I really want to put into this side, I guess we just told a 15-minute story about bowel movements on Scar's part, but the only personal part that I really enjoyed, I had a friend that helped me get a killer deal there one time, and so I was in town and stayed there, and I remember I had a busy morning, I had to do some work stuff, and then so I go over there, I go up to the room and I kind of put my stuff down and hop in the shower real quick. And I'm coming down the stairs feeling like $1 million and maybe feeling more like $100, but I'm coming down and I'm staying on like either the second floor or however they describe this. But the only thing that I had to do after I came out of the door of my room was go down like two very short flights of these really large, like, you know, really, really nice wood stairs. There was probably like all grand total, there's like 12, 14 stairs, steps, something like this, 18, maybe tops, and in two sections. And they were wide and they were just, it was like, I'm walking down these steps and I'm going to walk around it right out into downtown Disney, like just from the room, you know. And it was just like, but it, the steps kind of curve in this nice little way. And of course it does, you know, Scar, you mentioned it's all craftsmen over there. See, I'm doing a bad job describing this because it was like an emotional thing. It was like a vibe or a feeling, you know, but it was just such a, like a, I don't know, like a king in a castle moment or just like a convenience, but like, that was a special thing. That was pretty cool. So, you know, when we go there here soon, you know, we're going to try to emulate that because it was just, what a cool, what a neat place to stay.
Yeah, that is, that whole hotel has such a good feeling, like when you go through it. I mean, we finally got to stay there one time, and we wanted to stay there since 2001, and we finally got to stay there in 2014. And got, you know, sometimes you can get a good deal, you know, in September, and that's a good time, good tip if you're looking for a time to go. And yeah, it was really fun. Since then, like I'd mentioned, the rooms were okay. They've all been renovated. New beds. The design they have is what they call kind of like a modern Craftsman. I was kind of iffy on that because it's
Right. It's a clashing. It's a clashing style. And you being a designer, you know, a space guy, that's gotta kind of bother you, I would imagine.
A little bit, but the rooms are nice. They're super clean. There's a lot of light in them now. Because Craftsman's is kind of a darker tone woods. Everything's a little
It's like small windows, you know, they were like, I feel like it was smaller windows. There's a lot of wood, too much wood for my liking, but a lot of wood.
So they kind of lightened the wood. The wood's lighter color. They have a lot of lights. So they have some like trim around the perimeter of the room with lights above that. Okay. They have lights above the you know, pendants above all four posts of each bed. And then in the center, there is an orange tree. And then part of that is like carved wood. And I think there might be Chippendale like somewhere hidden in it. And that's
okay, so
that's
you
super
would
nice.
Say that they have a better respect for wood now. They respect wood more than they did before. They're using it in a better way.
Well, I would say they respect the wood. Now, the guests, I wouldn't say respected the wood.
How would you know if a guest didn't respect the wood? What would be the sign? What would be the telltale signature that
Two
you
things.
Could see on the wood that a guest didn't respect? Let's hear it.
Two things. One, they smear things all over it. Smeared. Yuck. Don't. They don't appreciate wood, and they don't respect wood because they ding it up. You know, lots of dings. They bang things into it. Maybe if they want to go so far as to put maybe a drink on the wood and there's a ring around it. And now there's this little white ring around there. Oh, wow. That right there is not respectful towards the wood. So the new ones, they've got a giant TV. It's just like, it's huge. Okay. The entryway into the rooms is wood. So it's like wood floors. And then that carries into the rest of the bathroom. Also, there was no doors to the bathroom. Well, I mean, there was a door, but not to the sink area. But now they have doors for all the rooms now.
Closing it all in there. I like that. I can get behind
Close
that.
It up.
Now,
put
if
it
I
away.
Remember right, when I was there, weren't the rooms still carpeted? Because I brought my bike. I actually had my bike because this was a long work trip. I had been up in Pismo Beach before that. And so I was doing some cycling when I got there. And so I actually had my road bike with me and I didn't want to leave it in the truck. So I brought it in the room. And I remember having the bike in there, but I distinctively remember that there was carpet. I would have remembered if the stallion was rolling on a wood. I'm pretty sure it was still carpeted in there.
Yeah, and just the entranceway of the new rooms are now the rest of it is still carpet moving like a little further into the room. And, you know, looking at some before and after pictures, you know, I can see why they may want to kind of maybe modernize a little bit. But you got to think you are in an older hotel. The only thing I've ever had an issue with this hotel was what time am I in? Am I in old fashioned, like an older time? Like, are you taking me back in time like say some of the hotels maybe in Disney World, like we're back in like 1920 Boardwalk or something like that. Is this just a modern day hotel, or am I supposed to be transported back in time? I never was quite sure on the story. Now for the bathrooms, they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. There's nothing at all wrong with those. Like walk in like showers, there's a rain head, there's a little handheld thing, there's tile there up the go. Wall. Like it's, man, you want this in your own home. It's beautiful.
Yeah, sure.
So wait,
let's
cool
just
stuff.
And this isn't anybody else's business, but so let's say where we're gonna stay there in a couple months. What kind of room do we get? Do we get the one king and then the couch pull out? Do we get the two queens?
We get the two queens. Are we sitting on any couch?
I'm with like trying to save a couple of bucks or something, and maybe you're on the couch. I'll be in, because the couch could be lower, it might be better for you entry wise.
No,
we'll go ahead and take the bed, and we'll figure that out.
No, that's shenanigans. No, I have this already figured out. We're good.
Okay.
But yeah, there's lots of cool stuff at this hotel, especially if you guys were to ever maybe go on the tour. It's totally free. You don't even have to stay in the hotel. You just sign up and you can go on a tour and they'll tell you all sorts of cool stuff about it and Craftsman Designs. There's lots of hidden things in this hotel to discover. That's really, really cool.
Can I ask one other question? Is this the hotel that they built those really custom rooms, or are those at the Disneyland Hotel?
Disneyland Hotel, but this hotel has some of the most amazing suites. If you like Craftsman style, there's three like distinctly unique suites with that style. That's just like, my gosh, like just
what makes them so great? What do you think?
Just the I love the style, and each one of them's like really, really unique and different. And
didn't Random Land do like a video where they walked in a couple of these? Am I remembering? Was it that guy? Where it's just super over the top. It's like these massive couches and like big cabinetry, tons of windows everywhere. Is that what I'm thinking of here?
Yeah, probably, for sure.
Fireplace. Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So those are the three hotels and some of our memories about them. There is
a
new
another memory in. Can I sneak one in before we cruise into the new hotel?
Slide
in. The last thing that one thing that I would always remember, and I remember this from the trip that I met you guys at this years ago. I was still living in Santa Cruz. I think I remember. Yeah, I had all my camera gear. That's when I brought a couple of big lenses, all good stuff. So I remember I was going to be meeting you guys at the hotel. I got there a little bit earlier, and I think you were coming back from the park, I believe, or I think you had already gotten checked in. Anyway, so, and it's not this year. The Adventure Tower, we're in there.
Yeah.
So I'm in there waiting for you guys, and I don't know where you are. So I have all these bags and everything, and I'm trying to figure out where to post up and wait. And I remember, because I hear some music, where is that music coming from? And when you walk into the Adventure Tower, let's just call that area the lobby or like the first floor. Mm-hmm. So rooms, there are some conference rooms on that because there's some monitors on the walls that show like, hey, down here, Pricewaterhouse is having a meeting about big data, but Deloitte's better than them, or something like that. They'd have some meeting like
Busted.
That. But so that's on the first floor. But there's a little double stairwell that goes down to a lower level, but beneath that. Mm-hmm. And down there, maybe there's like I almost said maid's quarters, some area where maybe the housekeeping can hang out or something. But down there, there's some restrooms. There is a payphone bank, which does still exist, believe it or not. There's some payphones down there. And it's like, I think maybe a couple of chairs or something too. But the music that you hear, and I always remember this, and I've heard this multiple times having been there. It is the soundtrack from Jungle Book.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so subtle. It's like, they're playing it like at just like that perfect volume where like if you were studying or you're doing some homework or you're needing to focus on something else, but you have to have something going on in the background. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself crazy. That would be the most ideal music because it's just perfect. I want to say most of it's instrumental even. There might be a little bit of sing-song. Yeah, occasionally like a Baloo might do something, but King Louis, but it's mostly all instrumental. And the bathrooms down there, okay? Like I like to. Some people are afraid to use public restrooms. I'm always using public restrooms, and
you like to sample them.
Anytime I go somewhere. Yeah, when I go to a new restaurant, or there's a lot of new, fun restaurants and stuff in Minneapolis, like really neat kind of cooking scene, scene here. But first thing I do is, excuse me for just a minute. I gotta take my Invisalign out, or I need to do some kind of excuse, and I gotta go check out those restrooms. And because I like to see, hey, if this place is that great, let me go check out the restroom. Let me see what's going on in there. And it's not a weird thing. It's just, it's architecture fascination. We'll just call it that. And But if you need to use the restroom and you can't get into your hotel room for any reason, in my case, I was waiting for you guys. I go down to those restrooms. It's the most peaceful music. You're not rushed and it's comfortable. It's quiet. There's probably not going to be anybody else coming in there. I could guarantee every single time I've ever used those, nobody else has come in. And plus, I just got off quite a flight. So, you know, you could change your clothes in there. It's not a big deal. And you just put some deodorant on. Like, it's just a nice experience for a restroom. If you're in the area, Disneyland Hotel, Adventure Tower, walk in on that main level and go down the stairs.
Well, there you go. You just got a bathroom tip. Yeah. This guy, I can vouch for it. Every restaurant, you just got to go. You got to check it out, see what it's like.
Check it out.
A bathroom tells a lot about the restaurant. And yeah, I'm excited.
I got one more if there's time.
All right. All right. Make it quick.
Okay. And this, maybe this comes up in the Disneyland Hotel, the history episode, but are you familiar with the Oak Room as it was back in the, like, you know, 60s and stuff?
No.
The Oak Room. Okay. So it was like this little, it was like a room within the restaurant. So whatever the nicer restaurant they had there, it was neckties only, you know, neckties and coats.
Yeah.
And if you notice how I didn't say, you know, like, you know, gowns or something for the ladies, it's because no women were allowed in this joint. Men only for a long time, no children. I think there were like some special nights when children and like, you know, you could bring the old lady or I don't mean it like that, but you could bring in your family or you could bring a date in there or something like that. But that was very rare. It was just a men's club and outside and, you know, it had good food and things like this, but it wasn't, it was not very well known, small place. And I believe nowadays, obviously women and children, everybody's allowed in here now, but and they should have been a long time ago, but the Oak Room itself still exists at the Disneyland Hotel within that steakhouse they have. It's just much different. Now it's more of like a room that would be reserved for a special occasion. It's a long table and all this kind of thing, but it initially was a fairly exclusive club within the Disneyland Hotel restaurant. And I'm always blanking on the name, but in that restaurant, but it was closed off and it was, gentlemen only and the shirts and I can hardly imagine that the conversations in there were gentlemanlike, but you know, I just wasn't sure if you knew about that. I thought that was quite
interesting. I didn't know about that.
Dug that up a couple of days ago.
Oh, that's really interesting for sure. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I think that's called like 55 or Steakhouse 55 now.
Yes.
In there. Yeah.
Yes, you got it. You got it. I'm always forgetting the names, but
yeah, so that's very interesting. So that was fun. Thinking about the olden times, our memories at each one of these hotels, and even a couple tips there. Bathroom tips are important. There's also one of those bathrooms that you spoke of with the instruments and the songs. It's in the Fantasy Tower. They just play Peter Pan music instead of Jungle Book music. It's downstairs and tucked away, too.
They're always doing that. They're always hiding these out. And now, is that one kind of over by the big shadow box of all the Disney Anna stuff?
Yes, it is.
Kind of over that area? They have all the pictures of the prominent guests. That have visited the park. Am I thinking of that right place?
Yes.
That's actually the same area where you'd walk into that giant hall where both where D23 was, but also where the check-in for the marathon is and all that kind of stuff. So if it's in that area, you're right though. That's almost the exact same kind of situation as the one over in the Adventure Tower, just much bigger, obviously. Fantasy Tower.
Yep. So there we go, guys. I hope you enjoyed the talk of the hotels, and let us know from the 1950s or 1970s list of hotels, which one would you guys stay at? Put it in the comments on YouTube. Let us know which one of those. I think we picked the Watergate for one night, and then we moved over to one of the other ones. So yeah, let us know. Ladies Latrice.
Did you want to talk about the future hotel, or we're going to leave that for another episode?
We're going to leave that for a future episode because, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty about it, and I'd like to get a little bit more information. We're running a little bit long, but hopefully you guys have enjoyed. Thank you so much for the 100 subscribers on YouTube. And
that's so cool. I didn't even know that. I feel embarrassed because I've actually been listening to the podcast on a bunch of other things lately, so I haven't been watching it on YouTube, and that's great news.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that. And of course, guys, we're always open to feedback. Let us know how we can improve the podcast. And like I said, we have future plans for more exciting things to come. And that sounds great. So any last words, Boy Guna, before we set them free?
Yeah. I suppose I got one last word. I always like to do this, something about Scar, about what kind of something is Scar. You know, I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking about the park, and I noticed that there were some good questions in your live stream today. So if Scar was one of the, you know, delightful treats, one of the food items that is being sold at Disneyland right now, what treat is Scar? Is he a turkey leg? Is he a churro? Is he a Dole Whip? Is he a Matterhorn macaroon? Is he a Cubano sandwich? What is Scar? What food item is he in? It doesn't, you know, he's a tall, skinny guy. It doesn't have to be a churro. He looks like a churro. It doesn't have to be a churro. It could be anything you want. Have fun with it. He could be a bread bowl. But of all the Disneyland treats, what is Scar and why? Please put that in the comments. I'd love to hear it. I'll put my own response in there too, but I'd like to see some from everybody else.
And with that, guys, thank you as always, and we'll see you in the next podcast.
See you real soon.